I wanted to call this episode SEO in 10 minutes a day, which might sound a little hard to believe. So I'll find another name, but between you and me, I'm pretty sure that 10 minutes a day applying what you're about to learn will make a world of difference to how easily your site can be found on the web. Welcome to Hit Publish, where I cover simple ways to get better results with your online business. This is Pamela Wilson of Copyblogger Media. This week, I'm bringing in Copyblogger team members to share their answers to your online marketing questions and show you how to build a business that grows your profits. I want to thank you for downloading this podcast, and I want to thank Rainmaker FM for hosting it. Ready to talk SEO? Let's hit publish. Today, we'll start with Sean Jackson. You know, just about everyone at Copyblogger has multiple skills. I think it might be some kind of requirement for working here. Our chief financial officer, Sean, has a strong background in search engine optimization. He helped develop our Scribe SEO product, which makes optimizing your content for search really easy. And that's why I wanted to tap Sean for this first question, because it's kind of a biggie. You see, SEO is always changing. So I asked Sean to tell us about the state of SEO today.
The reality is, I'll make it change even more. SEO is dead.
Oh, no.
I know. It's something I wrote about last year on Copyblogger that was the number one post on Google+, which is where I outline why the term SEO is really just not applicable anymore. You know, it used to be this idea of a black box and a mystery, and you had to know some secret formula to get your stuff to the top of Google, right? And it always inevitably had some spammy connotations. And quite frankly, I think the term is no longer useful. I think the tactics are, but I don't think the term is right. I think there's a new term we should be using.
All right. I want to hear about this new term then.
That new term is really cuts to the heart of anything that you do in content marketing, which is once you've written that content, you're going to want people to see it. You want to do things that maximize this exposure. So I've come up with a new term called MCD. For maximizing content discovery. Because at the end of the day, that's what it really is about. And it's not a black box. It's not a mystery. It's not a spammy thing. It is the things that you need to do to maximize the ability for people to discover your content. You know, if I said to you SEO, people immediately think Google, right?
Right.
But reality is that we discover content in a lot of different channels now, right? We go to Amazon, and that's a way to discover content. We go to Instagram. We go to Pinterest. We go to LinkedIn. We go to Twitter. We're discovering content now in a variety of different sources. And sure, Google has a big chunk of that content discovery, but they're not the only ones anymore. And as recent shift has happened where Google has lost some market share, now Yahoo's coming back important. But I think that'll fracture anymore. I mean, I know a lot of mommy bloggers out there that swear that Pinterest is one of the best ways for their audience to discover their content. So let's stop using this term SEO and really focus on, which is what we all want, is the ability to maximize the discovery of this content, or MCD, maximizing content discovery.
I love that idea. All right. So what does that break down to on a daily basis? What do we need to be doing to make sure we can maximize content discovery?
That's a great question. And I think the good news is you may be doing it already, but it's always in the details sometimes, right? And I'll give a great example. You know, if you're trying to maximize your content, then one of the ways to expose your content more is putting share buttons on a post, let's say, right? So like in Rainmaker, we have these really nice ways and elegant ways of putting share buttons on. Well, you want to make sure that they're there and they're obvious, right? You need to make sure that people know they can click it. But even more important, what is the text that you put into those share buttons that would appear in that tweet stream or on that LinkedIn post? Because that's also something very important that people need to concentrate. It's not the headline that you put on your page, right? The nice thing about a page is that it has context, it has imagery, it has more that can maybe establish that headline. But if you're trying to share something out there, that title and description that you put on that page has got to sustain itself with all the competition that is out there. And so I think that's one very easy way of looking at this MCD approach of making sure that those titles and descriptions that are put into those sharing capability are exactly what you think will draw the audience in. And it doesn't have to match, and probably some cases shouldn't match what the headline on the page is. And I think that's really important. I think the focusing on those two elements helps people to discover your content easier.
I always tell people that the title and the description are like an ad that you're writing for your content. So it sounds like I'm not too far off.
You're 100% correct. And I think let's go a little deeper in that, because they are the ad for your content. But, you know, search engines or discovery engines are also very smart, but they need help. And of all the years that I've been doing optimization efforts, and I've read a lot of academic papers on information retrieval, there's a lot of algorithms out there. There's a whole society of information retrieval scientists out there. And while I'm not smart enough to be a member of it, I can at least read what they write. And I'm going to tell you some things that have never changed in the numerous years that I've been researching this. Number one, what type of keyword you use really does matter. Now, there are some changes that Google did in their discovery engine, but certainly some of the other sources are not as sophisticated, but it doesn't matter. At the heart of it is the keyword that you use or keywords you use always will matter. And not only do they matter to make it something that the user can identify with, which is the most important, but so that these algorithms and indexing systems can properly take your content and put it in its place. So keyword is very important. But it's important not just for the term itself, but it's also in its usage. You want to use it in the title. You want to use it in the description. You want to use it frequently in the content. Now, discovery engines are getting a lot better, but at the end of the day, they still have to have a term or terms to center off of. And if you're not taking the time to put those keywords in your title, in your description, so they appear in your social media sharing, so they appear in the HTML of your page, and you're not using those terms frequently in your content, then you're really hamstringing yourself.
So we can't ask them to think for us. We really do have to help them along.
That's true. And the other thing that helps them along is if you write long content. That's another thing that kind of blows people away, is that there is the more content you put in a post or a page, the easier it is for a discovery system to understand what you're talking about. So if you're using images, describing those images. If you have a post that you're writing, you don't want just 200 or 300 words. I mean, at a minimum, 500 to 700 sometimes seems to be the most optimal amount, because you're giving more information to these discovery engines so they can properly understand, okay, you're using this term, you're using other terms related to it, this page, post, etc., must be about that. So it's keywords, it's frequency of those keywords, and it is the length of the document. That really has not fundamentally changed in the 15, 20 years that we've really been talking about this idea of SEO. They really just don't change.
That's good to know that some of those basics are still around, but that we also need to focus on maximizing content discovery by making sure that as we spread things around, the right message is getting out to people.
Absolutely. And each of these discovery engines, I like to think of them that way, it's not search engines, but as discovery engines. Each discovery engine has something that it keys off of. So in the case of Twitter, you know, it's about the number of retweets that you have. It's the number of people that are talking about that particular thing that you put out there into it. In the case of Google, it's links. In the case of LinkedIn, it's shares. In the case of Pinterest, it's pins. See, that is something that I think people who grew up with SEO started to understand, that this content that I'm creating has to have some sort of engagement so that these discovery engines can figure out, you know, put it on their radar screen to say, this is something that other people find valuable. And we all know about links with Google, right?
Yeah.
But Twitter, Pinterest, I mean, that is a lot of who is pinning or retweeting these things to amplify the discovery of it. And that's why I really go back to this idea of it's not SEO anymore. That term is just, it's like when I started in technology, I used to run a bulletin board system. Anybody talk about BBSs these days? No,
of course
not. Because the term no longer applies, even though the technology is very similar to what we call forms.
Right.
What I look at is, how do I, as a novice, just try to understand this stuff? And SEO is too scary. But maximizing the discovery of my content, maximizing content discovery through discovery engines where I know my audience is, that's something you can control. That's something you can do today. And it doesn't require anything more than understanding your keywords and making sure they're easy to find.
You're doing some of the heavy lifting, and you're letting other people who share your content do some of the heavy lifting for the search engines, it sounds like.
Of course, because again, I'm not saying that, you know, that the number of retweets matters in a discovery system. But what does matter is that the more people that retweet something, the broader the ability for you to have your content discovered, right?
Right.
That's why the terms we use matters, because I'm not worried about gaming a system or trying to, you know, get 1,000 bots on Twitter to like something, right? Or whatever the thing that you're trying to black hat or spam something. What you're really trying to say, you know what? If I could get someone like a Chris Garrett to retweet something that I have posted out there, that his reach is going to be substantial. Or a Brian Clark, who has a huge following. You know, that to me probably matters more, is that I'm maximizing the discovery, the content discovery process, by getting one person out there to use whatever engagement that channel has, and then they replicate it, and they replicate it, and they replicate it. That's what matters more than black box, you know, ooh, get as many links as you can buy, that type of thing.
Sean's radical recommendation: stop being obsessed with SEO and spend your energy writing good, solid content instead. Here's a hint. That is not the first time you're going to hear that advice on this podcast. It's kind of a running theme. Before we continue with my other guests, I want to let you know that we still have some tickets available for the Authority Rainmaker Intensive live event in Denver, Colorado this May. I'll be speaking, but I'm one of just many, many speakers. You'll hear from Dan Pink, Sally Hogshead, and in what I am quite sure will be a memorable presentation, punk legend Henry Rollins. This event is so cool. It's set up so you can get a really firm foundation under your online business. We'll be covering design, content, traffic, and conversion in that order. You'll hear from some of the best in the industry, and we'll have a chance to hang out during 3 daily meals, which are included, and also at some amazing parties. I mean, you can't be in study mode the whole time, right? Authority Rainmaker is held in Denver, Colorado. As I said, it's this May, and it's going to be at the Ellie Calkins Opera House, which is a beautiful space and a great place to get inspired and think big about your business. If you're a Hit Publish listener, I would love to see you there. Learn more at rainmaker.fm/event. Katie Barrio is next. Katie is head of quality assurance and has been steeped in the development of our Scribe product since day one, which means, of course, that she's up to date on what works for search. I found myself scribbling notes as we spoke. Katie's answer is full of pragmatic advice that you can use right now. So get your pencil ready and listen to Katie tell us what the minimum requirements are for SEO on a page or a blog post.
Well, there really are a few things that you can do, and you don't have to have a lot of technical knowledge, fortunately, that will really help your content to rank well. The one most important thing is to just write quality content. The saying is, write well to rank well. You'll hear that. Everyone says that. Google says that. It's the one most important thing. If you are writing content for the readers and not the search engine bots, but you're writing content that is ideally focused on a singular subject matter or a topic, and you're providing a lot of really valuable information on that topic, that when a human visitor comes to that page and they're going to read that page and find valuable information, then the search engines are going to find that that's a valuable page that they should want to include in their search results.
It's almost like search engines are behaving more like people now than they used to, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's what they're trying to do. I mean, their goal is they're trying to pretend that they are a human searching for this word. And if I'm searching for content marketing, what are the pages that I as a human want to see that will give me the answer to that question? Now, they're having to look at longer search terms, and some words can mean different things in different contexts. And so that's what the search engines are trying to figure out. And they're doing a really good, well, they're doing a better and better job of it. But, you know, bottom line is, for all these people who are trying to trick search engines and trick keywords and things, if you just focus on what you're writing as being valuable piece of information, then it's going to do well. There really isn't, a lot of times I hear people asking, well, how long does it need to be? And there really isn't a maximum or minimum. There's not a set limit.
I've always heard like 300 words, but actually that number seems to vary. So it sounds like it's more about quality than length.
Absolutely. I mean, I tend to tell people shoot for at least 300, but sometimes that's hard to do. And that's okay if you can't do that. But the more you can do, the better. As long as it's valuable information and you're not just sticking words on the page just to have some length there. The other thing that you need to try to do is, as I mentioned before, you want to have one subject matter that this page or post is focused on. And ideally, you want to use the keyword or the key phrase of what this is about throughout your page. There's not a set number of how many times you need to say it. But, you know, you should try to throw it in every once in a while. Make sure you have it up towards the beginning. Definitely, the sooner the better, because people are going to come to this page too. And you want to make sure that they see right away that this page is, in fact, what it is they came searching for.
So what else should we be doing with keywords on the page or on the post?
Well, the other thing is you want to be sure that you include it in the page title, so that when the person gets there, they see this is what it's about. But also you want to include it in the title tag and the meta description that you associate with that page, so that when the search engines do list that page in their rankings, the snippet that they show will show in the title tag and the description your keyword, and they'll see, the person on the search results page will see that, oh, this is about content marketing, and let me click on that link.
It's a very reassuring feeling when you're searching for something to find the exact word that you just typed into the search engine appearing in the results. I think it makes people feel like this will have what I'm looking for.
Yes, and especially in that meta description. A lot of people, I think, tend to kind of take the easy way out on the meta description. And, you know, a lot of websites will just put in the first 100 words or 165 characters from the post or page, and people will just say, okay, there it is, that's good, I'm done. But that's not necessarily what's going to get someone to click on that link. So really, you need to put in your own meta description that really says this is what this page is about, so that person will want to click that link. I think that helps quite a bit.
All right, so we have our keywords down. What else do we need to be doing on our pages and posts?
Well, the other thing is you want to include some hyperlinks, a few different kinds of hyperlinks. The first thing you want to do is you want to find other pages on your own website that you've already or previously written about this subject, and hopefully they are already indexed by the search engines. You want to go back to those pages that are already published, and you want to add a link from that page to this new page. And ideally, you want to use what's called anchor text, which is just the word of which is your keyword. So say, for example, I'm writing about content marketing, and I have an earlier article that I published, and it's already been indexed by Google on content marketing. So I go to that page, I find one of the instances where I used the term content marketing on that published page, and I add a hyperlink on that page to this new page and publish that again.
So you're going back in time and making sure that your older content is linking to your newer content.
And that's going to help this newer content get indexed by the search engines. And it's also helping by linking more of this content under the same keyword, it helps also build up the overall authority of your website for this keyword. The more content that you can have that's ranking for the keyword and linking between each other for the keyword is going to help.
That makes so much sense. That makes so much sense. And this is, we also talk about this as internal linking, right? That's another way of talking about it.
Exactly. And then you can also then on your new page have links that go to other pages in your website that are talking about the same subject. So more internal linking, but from the new page to older pages.
That's great. So you've got, you're creating this net of content that's referring back and forth over and across your pages. So that takes care of internal linking, but then what about linking to outside websites?
Yes, absolutely. It is a good idea to include some links that go out to other websites. Look for websites that are talking about the same subject matter, preferably are indexed for that keyword. And you don't necessarily want to go to the homepage of that website. What you want to do is find an actual post or page inside the website that is optimized for that keyword and content that you think that your audience will find valuable. So maybe it expands on what you've been talking about or dives a little further into it, and you really think your audience would find that valuable. Not only is it going to help your page, but it's also going to help your readers, which is really should be your ultimate goal. But link off to that page. And again, use anchor text. So use one of the keywords and set that as your anchor text. You shouldn't see any click here's on your page. It should be content marketing, and that word is a hyperlink off to this other page.
So is there anything else that we need to keep in mind?
Well, the other thing I just want to mention about the links is the gold mine of linking is if you can get an outside website that is an authority for that keyword linking to one of your posts or pages. It's not necessarily easy to do, but when you link to their site, that can help. You know, they will tend to notice people who are linking to them, and that can help you to eventually get a relationship with them where they might link to you at some point. That would be the ultimate goal, is to look for sites that can link to you. But that takes some work, it takes some effort, and it requires that you have solid, valuable content on your site. So again, it all kind of goes back to this write well to rank well, and you'll also get links if you're writing well as well.
That makes a lot of sense. So it all starts with good quality content, it sounds like.
It does. And then you also don't have to worry about how Google is changing their algorithm, because they're not going to ever do anything that's going to harm someone who's writing a quality informational content about a subject. So
right. It's like our insurance plan for Google, right?
Right.
I love the advice to go back to older posts that are already ranking well and link them up to newer content on your site. Can you imagine what would happen if every time you posted something new, you linked it to an existing page and then you linked the existing page to your new content? That's kind of like having your website pull itself up by its own bootstraps, and you gotta love that. We're finishing up today with Jared Morris, VP of Marketing, who's continuing on this optimization theme, because the idea here is to get your content working for you. I asked Jared what else we could do to make our older content easier to find.
There are a few places I would focus. The first place I would focus is the headline. I think If a post isn't performing quite like you want it to, or maybe it's not attracting traffic from the keywords that you want it to, I would adjust the headline and either make sure that you get the right keywords at the beginning of the post, or just make sure that your keywords are in there at all. You know, sometimes we want to use a more clever headline and we leave out the keywords, and then it doesn't quite drive the traffic that we want. So maybe getting those keywords in there, even at the expense of, you know, some of your cleverness, can help with SEO. So if that's the goal, that's one place I would look. And then another couple of places I would look is linking. You know, from what I know, the very first link that you put in a post is really looked on by Google in terms of SEO. And so I think making that an internal link to somewhere on your site on a relevant keyword, typically to some kind of cornerstone content, but not necessarily, it doesn't have to be, but making sure that that first link is to a relevant post on your site and linked on a relevant keyword phrase for that post can really help both posts. And then beyond that, it's really just making sure that you have good internal linking in there. So finding any other opportunities, maybe the post that you're looking at is from a year ago, and since then you've had some other posts come out that now can fill in spots in that old post for links. Now would be a good time then to obviously add those as well.
So you really need to keep an inventory of your content in mind as you're looking at these older posts.
Yeah, I think it's important. It'll really help you because whether it's boosting the SEO of those old posts or even just making or the new posts or even just making the old posts more relevant, you know, because if you're providing more relevant links in there, that's going to boost your internal linking structure and it's going to make that post itself even more valuable to the readers. And as we know, when it comes to SEO, the first person that you're focusing on is the reader. Make the content more useful for the reader. And as you do that with some of these technical tweaks, I think your improvement in SEO will follow.
Right. All right. And I want to ask you to back up just a moment to make sure that everyone understands this. You mentioned cornerstone content. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you can just take a moment to define what that is in case someone doesn't know.
Sure. I mean, those are the pillars of your site, the pillars of what you're about. So to use Copyblogger, for example, right? Content marketing and SEO copywriting and landing pages. These are the topics where we have expertise. And they're the keywords that we really focus on. And so we have specific landing pages for these shorter tail keywords. And so we know if the term content marketing comes up, we know we're linking to that page. So all of that internal link juice, if you will, is going to that one place because it's such a cornerstone for us. It's a topic that people look for. They're looking for information on. We can provide it. And so we want to make sure that we're directing people there.
All right. So the idea is these are like your rock star pages that you link back to frequently so that you're always directing people to these pages and trying to position them as the ultimate authority on that topic. Is that right?
Yes. That's okay. A good way of describing it.
Okay. That makes sense. Thank you. Sean said we should focus on creating high-value content. Katie did too and recommended linking between old content and new content, among other great SEO habits. And Jared showed us how to polish up older posts and make them easier for search engines to find. Here are my questions for you. How can you make the SEO practices we talked about today a new habit? It doesn't have to take long. If every time you create a valuable new page or new post, you spend just a few minutes going back and linking between your new and old content, that single habit will help your site get found on the web. I'm going to do it. Are you? This is Pamela Wilson. I want to thank you for being one of the many gorgeous hit publish podcast subscribers. Take a look at the show notes for more information on today's topic. And if you liked what you heard, take a moment and leave a review for Hit Publish on iTunes. Type in a quick rating, say a few words. That will help others to find this podcast. And I have to tell you, I would love to hear from you also. Until next time, take action and hit publish.